Well, thanks again, Jacob, for leading us today. Really appreciate it. And Randy and the team from Mesquite Mission Trip will be back in about an hour, so we're grateful for that as well. Let me tell you what we're going to do tonight. I want to share with you, you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to take just a few minutes and walk through a quick section of this as we have the last few weeks, and then I'm going to ask Max to come up here, and we're going to do a interview on with Max about scripture memory and him going to encourage us in that as a church. And so we started this several weeks ago with Ezra 7:10 was kind of the verse that launched us, that Ezra had set his heart to study the scriptures, right, to teach it and to do it throughout all of Israel, right? And we just laid out that evening kind of a doctrine of the Bible. Is it sufficient, right? What does the Bible say about itself? Why should we treasure it and intake it and immerse ourselves in it? And from there, the next week, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and just saw this clear call that Paul was putting out to believers, saying, listen, this is why the Bible is so important. It's from God, it's breathed out by Him, but that it trains us and it teaches us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. And then we finally got that last part of that where it says, and it thoroughly equips the man of God for every good work that God has for him. Right? So we need it to be equipped for what God has for us. Last week, a couple weeks ago, we looked at Nehemiah chapter 8 and just went through when the people received God's word after having been neglecting it for decades, for generations. And we saw their response, that when they heard God's word, there was both rejoicing but also mourning of what they'd missed and not understanding what sin was and how they had walked away from God. And we spent some time just walking through a little bit last time about how important it is that we're reading our Bibles regularly. We talked about the quiet time, that we're also studying our Bibles and we're not counting on other people or depending on other people to try to walk with God for us. And I just can't say that enough, that part of what we're trying to do here is let God's word become so a part of our lives that there is discovery and there is joy as we study and God shows himself and reveals himself. And we're not just relying, as good as it can be on Sundays when Ronnie preaches and others preach to us, and how essential that is, and God's word's clear on that, but that we are also able to feed ourselves and walk with God on our own. And so that's so important. I hope that's something that God will work in us as we continue this tonight. So tonight I'm going to just share a little bit out of Deuteronomy 6 and verses 1 through 15, and then Max is going to talk to us about scripture memory as we incorporate another discipline along with quiet time and Bible study of ways that we intake God's word. So I want to read chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, and then I just want to show you about six things and then have Max come up here. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Deuteronomy. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and you are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. And you will not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. So I just want to share, and these are just basically about six observations that I think we should take just on prioritizing the scripture in our lives. The first one I would just say from verse 1 is that notice that God's word is not suggestive, but the commandments are given to be known and obeyed. All right? They are given to us, and they correlate with a way of life. So God is, you know, as he's giving these instructions to Moses to give to the people, this isn't just for the teachers. This isn't just for the people who want a little bit more. This is when I give you this land that I'm giving you and providing for you, it is in order that you will live in it a certain way. And as we saw from the end of that passage, it's a way that is different from the people that are already there. And for us to live a certain way, we have to have the teaching to tell us how to live. And so God's words are not mere suggestions. They're not just good ideas, but they come with intentionality of saying, okay, I want you to live a certain way. For you to know how that is, you have to know this word, and then you have to do them. Right? I think far too often when it comes to God's word, we see it as much more optional than God sees it. And again, this isn't and I've tried to stress this each week, almost to the point that I feel like I've gone the other way on this. But this isn't, again, I hope that when I say this and say these things that you're not hearing, well, that's just really sounds legalistic. We've moved into a time to where anytime the word ought is used, someone's going to cry about legalism, right? But if the ought is right, then it's not legalistic at all, right? Children ought to obey their parents, right? That's not legalism, right? We ought to do certain things. And if God has given us a word, right, then we ought to obey it. It's just clear. Now, sometimes it takes a while to get our heart on the same track where we're wanting these things. But God's word will work in that with us too. Number two. Notice that it's God's commands or God's word in verse 2 that lead us to fearing him. He said, I'm going to teach you that you may do them so that you may fear the Lord your God. Fear, this idea of being in awe of who God is. Fear is a pathway to worship. Right? This is not being afraid of God, although we've talked about that to where there is a certain element that we understand his power and his righteousness and his holiness. But this is the fear of God that is in awe of him. It's where we should want to be, that we live in awe of who he is. But that comes from spending time in his word and him revealing himself to us. Look at the first warning that we see. And this will be number 3 in verse 3. He says, hear, O Israel, and be careful to do them. These words, these commands that I've given you. It's kind of a strange admonition, isn't it? Be careful to obey. That's not something we normally are telling people to watch out for. But the idea behind this is, it's like we talked about this morning, it is such a real temptation that we take the scriptures and we don't live them. So he says, be careful that you don't just know them in your head, but that you are obedient, that you are careful to do them. Right? One of the tragic things that can happen in our walk with God sometimes is that there's just an easy tendency that we will settle for orthodoxy, that we will settle for right doctrine and assume that if our doctrine's right, that our life is going to follow, right? There is some truth to that. It's hard to live rightly with bad doctrine. But another temptation is that we will take the information or the knowledge of the right doctrine and not apply it. And so they go hand in hand. Right doctrine, orthodoxy, when it is rightly understood, will always lead us to right practice, right? Living it out, obedient Christian lives. So you and I should take this admonition, I think, to heart. There is a danger to where we'll take truth, and sometimes truth, the problem with it, if you can say there's a problem with truth, is that we get familiar with it. And familiarity with God's truth sometimes makes us feel like we're doing it. And so we can take a lot of spiritual things. I'll give you a couple of them that are really easy. We can talk enough about prayer that we actually feel like we're good at prayer, right? But we don't pray, right? I think another one's evangelism. Class after class, sermon after sermon, we talk about it to where evangelism and the message of the gospel, we are crystal clear on that. What we're not crystal clear on is our neighbor across the street that we know is lost hasn't heard it from us, right? But we feel familiar with it. So we have to be careful of not growing familiar with truth to the point that it just becomes something that we know, but it's not something that we do. That's the warning there. Number four, in verses 4 through 7, the main theme that we see happening in this, and we see this in verse 6, is that God's word should be on our hearts. Now, I think this makes a very easy application to what we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes about scripture memory. But I think it's more than that, right? God's word being on our hearts is the idea that it has just, we are taking it in. It's like second nature. Spurgeon said of Bunyan that if you prick him anywhere, he bleeds Bible. That's the idea behind it, right? That's when someone asks you something, our answer is like, well, this is what God's word says, right? That's how we want to be. We want to be taking in God's word that we are so knowledgeable of him and his ways and how he works. So I used the illustration this morning about, you know, how we relate with our spouse. And we just wouldn't say a lot of the same things in that relationship that we say in our time with the Lord. But think about this in the relationship, the longer that you're married, just how much, you know, you were so in love and you got married and you look back on it now and you're like, I didn't know anything about them when we got married. And 15, 20, 25, 50, 60 years later, it's not just that you know them anymore. It's that you can anticipate, right? You know, in this situation, you know what they're going to say before it even comes out, right? And that's the kind of relationship that we can have with God and his word, that we know him so well. We know how he's going to work in our lives. We know what the word says, right? It's so familiar, but it's also being lived out. It is on our hearts. Number five, notice the emphasis in verse 7 that it's not to stop with us. We are to teach God's word to the next generations. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit. And there's just this very intentionality. He'd already mentioned back in verse 1 about it with their sons and their sons. And then the last one I'll show you here in number 6, would be in verses 7 and follow, but just the intentional conversations that come with this. Did you notice how he described that? Talk about them with your kids. Talk when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. When you go to bed at night, you're talking about the Bible. When you wake up in the morning, it's the first thing that we're thinking of, right? And you say, well, who does that? I don't know, but wouldn't you like to? I mean, that's where we're trying to get, is that we're just filling ourselves with God's word. And notice the intentionality, right? I think, and I've talked about this with several of our campus group leaders at different times, but I think this is one of the biggest things that's missing. Just in general amongst believers is how, unless it's a set time on a calendar, how little we talk with one another about spiritual things. These things really just ought to be flowing out of us, right? And we know this is true. We talk about things that are important to us, right? If you're a grandparent, I mean, no one has to ask you about your grandkids, right? You tell us way more than we ever wanted to know about your grandkids, right? It's just how that works. If you're a fan of a team, no one has to ask you that, right? If you just had a tremendous whatever, I mean, you're going to share these things, and that's all great. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Until we look and say, you know, I really haven't talked about the Lord like that to anyone. And let me just say, just this is kind of a little rabbit here to chase. If we're not talking to each other about what God's doing in our lives, my guess is we're not going to tell others about Christ who need to hear about him. Right? Those conversations that we have with each other about the Lord and what he's doing are really, really good practice for telling other people about Christ. Right? There's intentionality here. And all of these principles that I just laid out, there's a couple of whys for why we do these in this passage. Look down at verse 12. That's the first why. He says, after you've been given all these things, he said, you're about to get this land. But if my word's not a priority before you get all these other things, and here's the warning in verse 12, take care lest you forget the Lord. This has been one of the underlying things that we've looked at in the past few weeks about why do we say, listen, spend regular time every day with the Lord. Study God's word. Attend services to where you can hear God's word preached. Memorize God's word. Have spiritual conversations about the Lord with people. And you'd say, okay, why? What's the importance? It just seems like they're giving us so much to do. It's not giving you something to do. It's that the world is not neutral, right? And every time we walk out of these doors and every day that we neglect spending time with God, we're putting ourselves in a position to become forgetful of him, of his faithfulness, of his goodness, of his righteousness, of his holiness. It's just little incremental bits of distance that we put between us and him so that when something hard happens or difficulty comes, we're asking different questions than we would if we were walking in really good fellowship with the Lord, right? Again, it's a warning that we should take heed of, because why would God tell him this if this wasn't a real possibility? We know the alluring parts of this world, right? You and I can do this just as easily. I think sometimes we disconnect from the Old Testament and idolatry because we don't have little gods that we're making or something, statues that are inside our homes. Listen, idolatry is idolatry, regardless of what it is or the time you live in or any of that stuff. Calvin referred to the human heart as an idol factory, right? If we can't find one, we'll make one, right? So we spend time with God and his word so that we take care to never forget him. And then the other warning, look at verses 14 and 15. You will not go after other gods, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, right? Because of God's attributes, his uniqueness, because he's unrivaled, because he has no peer, he does not share well, and he shouldn't. So again, Moses gives them the warning of there are going to be other gods that will tempt you, right? There will be other idols in our lives in this world that are very tempting to us. And it's the foundation of God's commands to know them, to teach them, to talk about them, to obey them, that lets us see the glory and the goodness of the one true God and how to recognize false gods so that we stay faithful to a jealous God, right? So these are important. What I just, you know, when we look at these, I just can't think of much more practical, you know, just reminding, like, I need to be in God's word because there are real threats of forgetting or idolatry. And you're like, oh, Ryan, I mean, we're not going to give in to idolatry. Listen, every morning we wake up is an opportunity for idolatry. Just like it's an opportunity to walk with the Lord. We have to decide that each day, right? And Satan is working so hard, right, to tempt us with these things. So I hope those are encouraging. And I just want to say kind of one thing before we transition here. And that is all we've done on these You know, if you leave here on a Sunday night the last few weeks and you're like, well, that wasn't very deep or anything, that was intentional, right? What I've tried to demonstrate is how to just read through a passage and just see the things that stand out. Just notice these observations, right? We can do this with any passage of God's word, right? And we can study that way and we can know God better that way. Tonight, after we finish, we'll be off next week for family week. And then we will start for the rest of the summer looking at the prayers of Paul in the New Testament and how he prayed for the church as we kind of combine this idea of studying God's word and praying for one another. So I encourage you with that. So Max, why don't you come on up and we'll take some time here that we have left to talk about scripture memory. So if any of you guys, if you're new to Trinity or you're new to Norman, Max is one of our elders. Max is the student director, the ministry director at the Baptist Student Union for a long time. But Max has been committed to everything that we've talked about the last few weeks on Sunday nights as faithfully and clearly as anyone that I've ever known. And so when I thought about scripture memory, there's just really no one else I could think of to talk about this any better than Max. And isn't it kind of funny? Scripture memory is not real popular, right? It's not going to, like, you do a conference on scripture memory and it's going to be really good for the four people who decide to go. And isn't it funny the demands that we put on our kids that we don't do anymore as adults? We want our kids memorizing verses in school and Awanas and children's stuff and all that, but then all of a sudden we kind of outgrow scripture memory, and yet it becomes one of these disciplines that can really pay off and God can really use. So I just want Max to, I've got some questions. If we have any time left, we might see if there's any from you all. But Max, so what, this has been a big part of your life. What made you start memorizing verses?
Well, when I was in college, and I started reading the Bible, I'd come across verses that really spoke to me. And I thought, I never want to forget that. And so someone had told me that if you'd write verses on cards, you could memorize them. So when a verse really spoke to me, I'd write on a card and start memorizing it. I'd try to review it every day for about 6 weeks. And so I started that in college, and I'm still at it. Every week I try to, I mean, there's never a day of my life that I don't work on scripture memory or review.
So you've been doing that since college?
Yes.
So that's been a few years?
Yes.
Okay. What is the, if you could boil it down, what is the biggest or most practical reason that you see for why it ought to be part of a believer's life?
I want these truths in my life. I want the Word of God where it's not just something I read or hear, but where what God has said, I want that in my life. And so it gives me something to meditate on. And that's one of the great reasons to memorize, is so you can think about it and think about how does this apply. And I want that to seek from my mind down into my heart and to be lived out in my life. And I also want it so that at any time the Holy Spirit wants to bring it to my mind to use it in my life or to share with anyone else, I want it to be available.
Okay. So over the years that you've done it, what have you found to be probably the most difficult or the biggest struggle or the biggest obstacle to memorizing God's word?
It's just the consistency. There's times that a lot of people start, just like you mentioned, we do it with children, and when you get old enough for it to do you some good, we quit. And that's a sad, sad thing.
Yeah.
But the reason I want to do it is to just get it in my life, and the hardest thing about it is just doing it consistently. Because when you start memorizing a verse, you need to work on it every day and you really get it. And the fact that very, very few people do it. I know I'm a very lone ranger in that area in a lot of ways. But That doesn't bother me because I know how valuable it is, and I'm going to do it if nobody else does it. It's their problem.
Okay. So walk us through a couple of things. The first one would be, you mentioned it earlier, but so if a verse just, if God speaks to you during your quiet time or a sermon or something stands out, is that you pick that verse to memorize? Or is there more of a strategic, I want to get verses on, how do you pick verses in order to memorize?
Well, the main way I get my verses is out of my quiet time. If I'm having a problem finding good verses to memorize, it's a good indication I'm not spending the time with the Lord that I need. Now, like this week, for example, I was reading along, and I'd memorized years ago Luke 22:35, where Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, he said, I sent you out without without script or shoes, without money, without anything. I sent you out. And he said, what did you like? And they said, nothing. Well, this week I'm reading it, and I see the very next verse where Jesus said, But I say to you, if you have a money bag, take it along, and also a bag. And he who does not have a sword should sell his coat and buy one. And I thought, isn't that interesting? One time Jesus sent him out just trusting him with absolutely nothing. But that's not where most laymen are. You've got some money. He said, now, if you got some money, take it along. You know, provide. So there's more than one way God provides for us. So I just thought that was an interesting contrast. He says, but I say to you, but now, if you have a money bag, take it along.
Okay. So if no one, if they've never done it before, walk them through the process. So you pick a verse and you say, okay, I want to memorize this. What do you do next?
Okay. Why don't we just memorize one? First Corinthians 10:31 says, where therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The first thing I do is I write it on a little card. And I put the verse on one side, the reference on the other. In the left-hand corner, I date the day that I'm memorizing it. And now I'm putting a date maybe 3 months later because I want to review it every day for 3 months, because then I'll really know it. I used to do it 6 weeks, but the older I get, takes a little more time. And so I go over and over it. Now, you say this with me if we're going to memorize 1 Corinthians 10:31. Say it with me, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink. Say it again and again. We're going to say it 10 times, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. Now, some of you may think that's simple, but the thing you've got to do is get deep ruts in your mind, repetition, and then we'll add some to it. All right, we're going to add a little bit to it. We've said 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink. Now we're going to say this phrase 10 times. Where you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, or whatsoever you do, or whatsoever you do, or whatsoever you do, or whatsoever you do. Say it again and again. Now let's say it. 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Say it again. Okay, you've memorized it, but do you know that verse? No, you don't know it. You may can quote it word perfectly, but you don't know it. When you wake up in the morning, you won't even remember where it is. Therefore, you go over and over and over it. Anyone can memorize. Don't ever believe that you're too old or you don't have a good memory. It's not that we don't have a good memory. It's we do not have good memory habits. Every one of you, you know when your wife's birthday is? You better. You remember things that are important to you. And it's sad to me that the Word of God, the most important treasure we have from God, apart from His Spirit, is His Word. And yet we don't treasure it to hide it in our heart.
Okay. So, and then you do that process basically for how long? You say for 3 months now?
Yes.
Review it every day. How much time do you spend in review?
Well, my new verses, and they're usually about 25 in that pack. And so whatever time it takes that, then I try to get to my old review some. I try to get through my old review once a month. I'm fortunate if I do that. Okay. Because that's about 4 pages.
Okay. So you've kind of alluded to different things on this, but walk us through, what are some of the spiritual benefits, or how does God use these verses that you've memorized maybe even years ago? How does he still use those, like, in your just daily, just in your life?
Well, many times God will bring a verse to my mind that I need. Like one time I had made a mistake. I was to speak in 2 different states on the same night. My seminary professor had asked me to go with him to a certain city. And I said, yes, I'll do that. We were going to ride together in his car. He was going to fly to the Southern Baptist Convention. I was supposed to take his car and drive it back to seminary. And I told him I'd do that. Then I saw my buddy at seminary, and he said, we're looking forward to you speaking in Joy, Texas, on Saturday night. And I said, no, I'm going to be in Louisiana on Saturday. He said, Max, you're supposed to speak. Which one of these engagements did you take first? I said, one in Joy, Texas. He said, I'm on the committee that invited you. I know when it is. It's Saturday night. How am I going to get out of that? And I'm walking over to talk to my professor, and I think, he's not going to be happy with me. And all of a sudden, Psalm 50:15 came to my mind. I'd memorized it in college, and I'm walking over and just praying. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. And I thought, well, this is a day of trouble. And so I told him, I said, I'm sorry I can't go with you. He started laughing. He just laughed and laughed. I said, what's so funny? He said, I was talking to the pastor this week, and he said, what are you doing driving all the way over here? You get on an airplane and fly, and we'll pay for it. He said, I've been trying to think all week. I can tell you, I don't want you to go with me. Now, when I walked away from there, I was just praising God because of that verse that God used. And I find that, I mean, all through the day, different times, verses will come to my mind that I will pray about. Like today, our baseball team got beat. That was not top of my wish list. But I think, in everything, give thanks. And I've prayed for those guys for a long time. The number one thing, that out of that would become men that would walk with God and make disciples. So that's an application for me today, and I thank God in all circumstances.
Okay. So you have any idea how many verses you've memorized?
I don't count them. There's enough problem with pride without counting your verses. And so I don't know how many I know. I just, and some of them are beginning to slip. But you know, even if I begin to lose some of the wording or some of the verses, I hope by now they're into my life. Mm-hmm. Because that's why I memorized them in the first place. But I wouldn't take anything in the world for those verses. I've often said it. If you could give me $1 million, if I could blot out of your mind the verses, I wouldn't touch it. It's been one of the greatest blessings that'll ever come to your life. Is, you know, we're in a church where we hear the Word. We read the Word. But for you, and as you mentioned tonight, just insights. See, what he did, what he shared with us tonight, doesn't take deep theological training. What does this verse say? And then you try to apply it to your life. So that's where I get my verses, is basically out of my quiet time. I try not to ever have a day of my life that I don't read my Bible. Now, I've come in some times after maybe had to get up real early for something all day, come in very tired at night. I don't go to bed till I read my Bible. I don't go to sleep till I review some of my verses. And that's not legalism. That's discipline. There's a vast difference.
Yeah. So what is your schedule, or what is your schedule that you recommend? Is it one a week? Is it one a month? Or is it just as God gives you a verse? How do you determine how often?
I think if you do one a week, it's plenty. If you will do one a week, and if you find some week you're getting behind and miss a week, that's fine. I remember hearing old John Crawford, an old navigator, and saying, if a day ever comes you can't memorize one a week, get one a month. You still get 12 new verses a year. And he said, even if you have to knock off a month for Christmas and a month for Thanksgiving, you still get 10 new verses. But I think one a week is a great goal. Now, I'm at the point in my life where I don't have a particular goal. There's some weeks I may pick up two or three verses and feed them into my pack. And then, but at least I try to have at least one new verse a week.
Okay. So you've been doing it a long time. Are there any like special tips or anything that you said that you've noticed as you, because I mean, navigators teach on this, other groups teach on it, but things that have really worked for you that said, this has made it easier for me to memorize.
Another thing I've done is taken my old verses and put them on sheets, like when I go to a health club and be on, trying to stay alive, jogging on the treadmill, I'd put them up there and I'd review when I'm jogging. Now, in the morning, when I walk, I'll take my verse pack with me and try to go through my verses when I'm walking. So those are some of the things that really help me. Now, another thing, let me say to you, don't ever let anybody discourage you from memorizing verses by saying you take it out of context. You don't have to take it out of context. You read the context, and you read the verse, and it's like a handle of a suitcase. I can pick up a big suitcase by a little bitty handle. I can memorize one verse. Like, I know where the story of David and Goliath is because I memorized 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies whom thou hast defied. 1 Samuel 17:45. I know where that story is because of that one verse. I know where the story of Jesus' interview with Nicodemus is because I know John 3:16. And so scripture memory, you don't take it out of context. You get the context and cement the context to it. And therefore, you have a tremendous working knowledge of the scriptures because of the key verses that you memorize, because they're cemented usually to a context. Now, sometimes Proverbs doesn't have much of one.
Yeah.
But usually they do.
So, Max, if I'm remembering correctly from when I was in school, you told a story that time about when you went to Romania. Was it Romania on a mission trip?
Yes.
When it was still under communism, right?
Right.
And basically secret, meeting in secret and doing different things, and many of them didn't have Bibles.
Right.
And so talk for a minute just about how scripture memory might be so important for a context like that.
We got a call one time, I don't know if we'd go to Romania. Now, Ceausescu was still in control. And the Baptist church over there said, if you will come, our church is supposed to hold 500, but we'll get 1,000 people in there. We'll get 2,000 in. We'll take out the seats if you will come. But we want you to know you will not be able to get into the country with a Bible. But the reason we're asking you to come is we've heard that you've memorized verses. And if you'll come, you can speak night after night, but you probably won't have a Bible. Well, we get to the border, they ask us four questions. Do you have any guns? Do you have any drugs? Do you have any pornography? Do you have any Bibles? And I thought that was kind of strange. But I wouldn't take anything in the world for what we had memorized. They called another time and said, it's illegal to do this, but if you'll come, we'll get 50 of the best people in our country, young people from our churches, and you can hide out in the mountains and have a week with them. Now, we want you to know it's illegal, for you to do that. We're not allowed to meet anywhere but the church where they have informers. So if they find you, we don't know what they'll do to you. But we just, so Sandra and I had gone up to Michigan State, and we stopped by Colorado, and just spending some time praying, we thought these people risk their lives every day. Pastor's wife said, anytime my husband leaves, I don't know if I'll ever see him again. And so why can you disobey what anytime someone oversteps the boundary that God gave? Like if I tell my wife to drive 60 in a 25-mile zone, she should disobey me because I don't have the authority over the speed laws. The government does not have the authority over where Christians can meet. So we went with a clear conscience, knowing we're disobeying the government. So we met out in the mountains with those 50 young people. I wouldn't take anything in the world, because one night I spoke in this church and the pastor said, would you come back tomorrow night and speak to the young people about dating? They never get to hear anything about that. We didn't have any notes on dating. We didn't have anything like that. But we could do it because of what we had memorized and learned through the years. So I wouldn't take anything. And let me just tell you, you need to get prepared. Some of you sitting in this auditorium may spend some time in prison. And we never know when we go to another country what might happen. We don't know what's going to happen in this country. But you'd give anything in the world if you'd have cut off your phone and all your social media. You don't have time. And it's amazing probably how much more time most people spend on their social media than you do the Word of God. So whatever you do, I would encourage you, you can take 3x5 cards. If you want the smaller cards, you can get those at the BCM. But when God speaks to you, or you see a verse, or maybe here's a verse you know you'll need to witness or share with someone else, then memorize it and really work on it.
That's good. We've got these handouts by all the doors, and they have a verse that we're trying to encourage people to memorize each week. These are verses out of the Navigator's topical memory system. And what's really great about that is you can take the hard copies if you want to, but on your smartphones, they have a great, the topical memory system is an app. And what's helpful about that is you can get that app, you can work through the verses, but they also have exercises and things that help you do exactly what Max was saying about repeating it. And there's also a app that you can get called Fighter Verses, and it's 5 years worth of scripture memory, working through doctrinal verses, working through passages of scripture. And they've got all kinds of resources to help you memorize, and it's 5 years worth. I mean, and just think about it. I mean, Max is right. We don't want to do it to tell people how many verses that we have, but one a week for 5 years, well, you've just, if you do like what he says and you take a section of scripture, you could really follow the entire flow of the Bible in 5 years just with what you've memorized. And so hiding God's word in our heart has incredible benefits. So I recommend those resources. Memorize with us this summer as a church, and then just keep right on going through with that. We all thank Max for sharing with us tonight. That was really good. Guys, we're going to be dismissed to go and have a time of fellowship. I hope you'll stay and eat dinner with us and just visit around the tables. I do have a quick favor to ask of you, though. Larry Toothaker needs about 8 men, and we are swapping. We're moving 2 tables, different locations, and Larry can instruct on how to do that. Larry, where would you like them to meet you? If you'll meet Larry right over here, it'll be really quick, and then you can come and grab a burger with us. Let me pray for us and pray for our meal, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have given us your word so that we can not only know truth, but Father, we can live it. And so, Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Max and what he shared with us. And Father, the great thing about it, he's not just teaching us. We see this in his life, and we've seen it for a long time, just the fruit that you have produced because of his faithfulness to know you and to know your word. And Father, I pray that would be true of each and every one of us, so that Father, we would be equipped to wherever you might take us, we could be useful for the kingdom. And so we pray you would help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here. You guys can head on down to the gym.